Late last night, on the anniversary of Great Britain's entry into World War I, the lights went out across Great Britain. The event was inspired by the words of former British Foreign Secretary Sir Edward Grey, who acknowledged the dark times ahead on the eve of World War I, saying, "The lamps are going out all over Europe. We shall not see them lit again in our lifetime." As the world marks the 100th anniversary of the start of the war, we're getting a glimpse of what daily life for the soldiers who fought in it was like. The diaries of the great British war poet Siegfried Sassoon are being published online for the first time by the Cambridge University Library. John Wells is curator of literary manuscripts there. He joins us from Cambridge. John, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, why are these diaries so important?
They're important for two reasons. The first is Sassoon himself. He wasn't just a war poet, although, of course, he's very famous as that, but he was also an autobiographer and a novelist, famous for his exploits during the war. He was a war hero, decorated with the Military Cross, but he turned against the war and, in the end, issued a statement declaring that he wasn't going to go back to fight. And that has made him more than just a writer. He's an iconic figure for those who take an interest in the progress of the war and the way that it affected those who fought in it. Secondly, the documents are just very immediate accounts of his own experiences. They're not mediated in the way that a work of fiction would be. There's none of the overlay of literary artifice. He is just putting down, usually within a few hours of events happening, what has occurred to him. Hmm. And that makes them extremely immediate as documents.
Well, you've got them right there in front of you. First of all, tell us what they look like.
We've digitized 23 of his notebooks from 1915 to 1927, but the diaries that he kept in the Western Front are all about 5 inches by 3 inches. They're pocket notebooks with covers that flip over, and he writes in a very small but neat hand, making best use he can of the space available to him. He's interspersed his writing with sketches in many cases. Sometimes he will use an entire page to draw a picture of the battlefront or, for example, a hospital scene. Other times he will intersperse doodles and smaller drawings in the text. So they're not a simple bit of prose. They're broken up in all sorts of interesting ways visually on the page.
Well, is there one that you can read for us to give us a sense of what they're like?
Yes, I've got one here which... He's on the Western Front here. It's the 3rd of June, 1916, so we're thinking about a month before the Battle of the Somme, which was the disastrous British offensive of 1916 in which he fought. And he says, "I can imagine that in 100 or 200 or 2,000 years, when wars are waged in the air and under the ground, these French roads will be haunted by a silent traffic of sliding lorries and jolting wagons and tilting limbers, all going silently about their business. Some staring peasant or stranger will see them silhouetted against the pale edge of a night sky, six mules and a double limber, with the drivers jiggling in the saddle, a line of cumbrous lorries nosing along some bleak main road, a battalion transport with a sergeant riding in front, and brakemen hanging on behind the limbers, taking rations to the trenches that were filled in hundreds of years ago. And there will be ghostly working parties coming home to billets long after midnight, filing along deserted tracks, men with round basin helmets and rifles slung over their shoulders, puffing at ambrosial woodbines. And sometimes the horizon will wink with the flash of a gun, and insubstantial shells will hurry across the upper air and melt innocuous into nothingness."
It sounds from listening to that like you're not giving him full credit when you say he's just jotting down his ideas.
Oh, I didn't say just. I mean, he's writing to be read. He mentioned several times in the diaries that he has in mind someone coming back to read them. There's one account when he describes a raid that he made on a German trench, and he draws a little diagram of showing how he ran across a valley and threw some bombs into the trench, and the Germans ran away. And he said at the time that it was 70 yards, and then there's a little note in his later handwriting saying that according to the regimental history, it was 200 yards. You can see that he's going back and using them as sources for the autobiographical writings that he was working on later in his life.
Tell us more about Siegfried Sassoon. Who was he, and how did he get into the war?
Sassoon was born in 1886, and he was the son of a junior member of a very wealthy banking family that had moved from Calcutta to London on his father's side. On his mother's side, he was related to artists and sculptors. I mean, if any of your listeners have been to London and stood on the bridge at Westminster and seen the statue of Boadicea in her chariot that's there, that was by one of his relatives.
Hmm.
He was independently wealthy. He didn't have to work for a living. He came to Cambridge for 4 terms, started reading law, changed to history because he didn't like law, and then when he failed to win a poetry medal, he packed in altogether and decided that he preferred fox hunting and steeplechasing. He was a very outdoor man in a lot of his ways. He liked horses and he liked cricket. He played a lot of games and golf as well. But all along, he was developing at the same time an interior life based on his poetry. But he had this rather aimless existence, it must be said, before the war. He hadn't found a job because he wasn't under a financial pressure to do that. And he was a man of leisure and seemed to lack any real purpose until the war came along. And he enlisted immediately, as so many young men did. He was to begin with a cavalry soldier, but he transferred to be an officer in an infantry regiment and got out to France in November 1915 and was there on the Western Front ready for the offensives of 1916.
And as you said, he later turned against the war. And here is an example of his work that sort of illustrates that. This is actor Samuel West reading Sassoon's poem Atrocities for the BBC. It's a poem about atrocities committed by British soldiers during the war.
Perhaps you'll feel as brave alone in no man's land when none can save or shield you from the horror of the night. There's blood upon your hands. Go out and fight. I hope those Huns will haunt you with their screams and make you gulp their blood in ghoulish dreams. You're great at murder. Tell me, can you fight?
Why did he have a change of heart?
Firstly, he loses a very close friend who he met here in Cambridge while they were officer training, and that turned him against Germany in a rather more visceral way than he had been perhaps before. He says that he would happily stick a bayonet into a German now that Tommy has been killed. He loses men on the Somme. He sees how soldiers are dying in the hospital around him. And later on, in 1917, at the Battle of Arras, he's wounded again and experiences extraordinary horrors of the bombardment. He began to think of poetry as a way of disturbing the complacency of the civilian population back in Britain. He described his poems as being of the nature of satirical drawings that were designed to get a response and put people's backs up, if you like. There were some magazines that wouldn't publish his work because they thought it would be detrimental to recruiting. But he had a friend who was editor of the Cambridge magazine who was always happy to print poems which were more of a pacifist stance because of that fitted with the magazine's editorial line.
What happened to him after the war?
After the war, he went back to being a man of leisure. He continued to ride. And he published some very charming prose on his Victorian childhood, The Old Century, which is a lovely book, but quite remote from the horrors of the trenches with which we most associate Sassoon.
John Wells is the curator of literary manuscripts at the Cambridge University Library in England. The university has just published online for the first time the War Diaries of World War I poet Siegfried Sassoon. You can read more about that and see some images at hereandnow.org. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
A bugler playing the last post at a World War I ceremony yesterday in Belgium. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.